Open our Bibles to the Song of Solomon, and you know, praise God for what a precious journey we've had in such a short amount of time. The words, not of past, but of now, of our lover. And I thank God for that. See, he's alive. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I kind of feel as if here we are tonight, kind of running to the mailbox to grab another love letter from our lover. And thanking God for that. And I pray that this will be that to all of us as we go, that it's even more intimate, more personal, more, and as I mentioned, more now. Thank God that, you know, anyone would even read this, but to read it and have the Holy Spirit read it to you, that's, again, what he desires. So let's do, in Jesus' name, allow him to do that ministering tonight. But we thank God that we've seen so much, and we've only merely gone through half of a chapter. And, you know, thank the Lord how we've seen that this Shulamite, this bride, and praise God, this is us. From the moment she wanted the intimacy, from the moment she said, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth," he gave her his full pursuit and love. He was waiting for it all the time. But the moment she said, "Let him do it," bang, it was on. And thank the Lord, as we see, he didn't beat around the bush with her. It wasn't something, well, let's get to know one another. She'd already known him. This wasn't something that this was a newbie kind of a thing. She had known him. He had courted her before, but she finally got serious. She finally said, "I will go." And it's so beautiful because immediately he brought her into the most intimate of all places. He brings her right into the chambers. He brings her right into the bedroom. And you read that there, praise God, right off the bat. And we thank the Lord how that is, how he does this. He's not wasting time. He wants us to redeem the time and go right into the exceeding riches of his grace. I think about folks that have come in, and thanking the Lord as I look around a little bit, that, you know, you say that have just come in, but my goodness, how time flies when you're having fun in Jesus, and time goes along, doesn't it, brother? Praise God. And I remember old sweet Paul, precious time that he came running up. I think it was after a Bible study, wasn't it, brother? And you come run up and he said, "Oh, I need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see this. And praise the Lord, he didn't mess around. The very next day, there he was rapping at Brother Kevin's door. And that was so funny. Kevin called me. I didn't know he was going over there. Kevin calls me up and says, "Who is this? This nutty little guy was banging on my door and telling me about wanting to get filled with the Holy Spirit." And he said, "That was one of the sweetest times I ever had." He said, "The Lord just filled him so sweetly. And my goodness, brother, he just wouldn't stop." And I said, "Well, that's the filling that you want." And not to, again, commend a brother except in the Lord, but we praise God for the work of grace. But what I'm saying here is that, you know, a lot of people, they kind of will get and say, "Well, you know, you haven't been running as long as I have." Well, when you start thinking of that, you're looking at their backside as they've run right by you. And that's about the truth of the matter. This is about now. It's about the intensity of the love at this moment. It's not about how much you know. It's about how much, praise God, his love and that love knowledge is working through. Yes, you do need to know Paul's gospel. Absolutely. That's why that infilling of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And then being taught that word of God and being around those shepherd's tents like we've been reading about. That's what's so encouraging, that we need to be fed that wonderful message. But praise the Lord, we need to ask the Lord, "Lord, open my heart. Allow the Spirit, by your grace, to minister to me, to ignite this, even when I'm not feeling much. Lord, let the little spark, let the little flame. I know you won't quench it, but let me know it by faith and bring me right along." But this is what's going on here. And we thank God that it was all hers at the moment she said, I will go. It was all hers at the very moment she said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. He opened it all up to her. But as we saw, even though she had him completely, by verse 7 of the first chapter, she starts to get distracted. She starts to allow the affairs of this life to bother her, to get in front of this precious relationship. And we see in verse 7, not only is she not in the bedroom anymore, she's not even in the kingdom, she's looking for his field. That's how far away she got from that fellowship with him so fast. And brothers and sisters, it's not something to fear, but it's something to be aware of, that, you know, the Lord, the Father is searching for that one, those ones, the true worshiper, that one, the horses in that company that worship him, that worship his son, that draw nigh unto him in fervent love to kiss him in spirit and in truth. That's what this is about. And that's, again, in calling out to the Lord, Lord, give me this passion for you. And but we see that the affairs of the life had kind of taken her off. But as we left off in verse 8, because he is forever faithful, even though she is unbelieving at this time, a little waffling, a little discouraged and distracted, she is encouraged in the Lord because the Lord pursues her. He says, no, honey, I've come for your words. I know that you're getting fought here a little bit. I know you're thinking about your family maybe a little too much. I know that these things that everybody's telling you have started to get your ear. But you know what, honey? You're my complete desire. And he really tells her that in verse 8. He says to her, look, let me tell you something. You're the fairest of all. Now, honey, I'm going to tell you something. You go feed on the word of my grace. You get by those shepherd's tents because you need to be strengthened again with how much I love you. You got to read another one of those letters, okay? You go to the well. If you want to think of it this way, go to the mailbox. I just sent you another letter. Now, honey, go to that mailbox. Open it up. Just smell how beautiful I am. Let me kiss you with my word. And what he does here is he says, basically, let me tell you how much I love you and what I see when I see you. See, this is what's going to happen here tonight, is we're going to go on with how the bridegroom sees her. And it's so beautiful. You have to have that vision of what he sees you and how he sees you. Because, brothers and sisters, it doth not appear what we shall be. And it doesn't even appear, in a sense, what's on the inside sometimes when we keep looking at the outside and we're so critical with our own selves. Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to give you a pat on the back and say, hey, you're okay. No, I'm telling you, the Word of God tells you you're lovely to him. And by the grace of God, you begin to really embrace that. You really embrace grace, because that's why you're lovely to him, because of grace. That's the transforming power. That's the grace that brings the glory that transforms your life. That, again, that makes you more and more like him, even into that very image of him. But once she does that, how immediate the Spirit and his wooing strikes her. And let's go ahead and pick it up tonight, reading from verse 9 of chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon. And here's what is said to her from the bridegroom. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. So again, these are his words to her. And all I can say is, wow, what that feeding that she just had in verse 8 has caused her to focus on once again. See, that was always there. Amen? See, that love was always there. But she was distracted. But once she gets by the shepherd's tents, meaning those ones, pastors, teachers, that are feeding her the word of God, once she's gathered against, ones of like precious faith, again, her mind is transformed so fast. That precious renewing is kindled in her in a moment. And praise be to God, this is her focus. And it's not just on him, but his love for her. How beautiful she is to him. And what a description as we're going to read. And we read on through all of these chapters. What a description of her he gives to her. How he is so smitten with her. How he is ravished by her. This is you, brothers and sisters. And this is the bridal courtship that the Lord wants you to enter into. But see, we can sit there and we can murmur and complain because we don't feel it or we don't see it. Brothers and sisters, this is a walk by faith. By faith. You either believe the word of God or you don't. At any stage along in your walk. Amen? There's people that don't want to believe salvation. Well, they just threw that away. But then there's people, children of God, obviously, that have accepted Christ as Savior. But then that's all they'll take. They want to just make an excuse for this or that or whatever it is. Maybe it's trying to blame somebody. Well, I had a bad upbringing. You know, my uncle or my so-and-so was a Christian, and he was just mean. Well, I'm sorry, but you know what? He didn't go on, but don't let that be the excuse that you don't go on. Amen? You're here today by God's grace and by the grace of God from pastors and teachers that didn't let that distract them. Amen? That understood where to categorize that in the Word of God, that was just a trial and a precious trial of my faith. To believe the Word of God, to not put my confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. And I'm even talking about men and women who have even run for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank God for that. But you know what? Believe it or not, they make mistakes. They have shortcomings even along the way. But God will use that for their life. I know he will. But most importantly, I can only trust God for my life. Lord, I need you to work this for me. I need to be looking, praise God, at truth and love. I don't need to be looking at flesh. I need to be looking at the power of the grace of God. Hallelujah. But for the grace of God, there go I. So I'd better hit my knees first and foremost for my life to have the vision in the eyes of the Lord as I would look not upon my brother, but praise be to God to look away. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one to go on there in there like that sweet son of Noah's that wouldn't look upon his daddy's sin and would cover him. Praise God. So this is where this is at. This is this love that we're visiting on tonight. This is this precious encouragement that the Lord is giving to us, and we have to get encouraged on this, is how beautiful we are to him. And that only happens when we see what he sees in us in the Word, not about my doings. He is thankful for the fruit that comes forth, but any fruit that comes forth is because I have my eyes upon him and his love to me and how he sees me. All by the grace of God, amen? And then that fruit, which is all the product of grace, will then come forth, amen? So praise the Lord, we begin to know the love of Christ. So we see this in this precious sister, that she begins to see how smitten and ravished he is. And as I mentioned kind of there, we all begin so well. Every Christian, when they're saved, they see how much God loves them. Every Christian, doesn't matter who you are, you saw that God loved you. You saw that God gave his son for you. You are not saved because of your great love for him. You are saved because you believe Jesus loves you. Amen? I'm not saved because, oh, I love Jesus. No, I'm saved because I believe that Jesus loves me. And that, praise the Lord, is one consistent thing of everybody who's ever gone to Christ. I believe that God so loved the world. He so loved me, he gave his son. It wasn't because I so loved God that he gave his son. He loved me first. And that's what he did, and he gave me his son. So we all started in that love. We all started, every child of God knew that they were loved. They looked at that love. But then so quickly we can be focused on, again, how much we love him. Did you hear that? Now, let me tell you something. I am so thankful, and it is wonderful. I am grateful to God to be able to tell him, Jesus, I love you. There's sometimes I pray up here, and all I can tell him is, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You can't help but do that. But brothers and sisters, the Word of God does not tell us to know our love for him, but to know the love of Christ, and that is for us. Amen? And that is the truth. And it's in that knowledge, it's in the knowledge of understanding how much he loves us, that then we are empowered with the same love, not a like love, but the very same love to love him, to love one another, praise God, to love the head and the body and love it all the same. And praise God, listen to what he says about her as we go into this tonight. Listen how she grows on by hearing him and hearing his desire and how he sees her. Again, he says to her, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Think of that. I have compared thee, O my love. See, don't ever miss that. Don't miss the best part. The best part of that is, oh, my love. You know, you got me at hello. Oh, my love. I'm just so ravished how you are in that. I thank Jesus so much. It's not, oh, my servant. It's not, oh, my pupil. It's not even, oh, my disciple. Praise God, it's, oh, my love. It's my love, my beloved, my admiration, my affection, my longing. It's you. You are like a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. See, Pharaoh's horses, obviously, you can imagine, they were the choice ones. Those were the ones that were fearless and were bred for battle. They had speed. They had strength. They were cunning. They also took instruction. They weren't horses that were unruly. They would know what the command was, and they would go. But I'll tell you what, even beyond all of that, I hear horses, and all I'm thinking of is I'm in Philippians. Amen? That's the horse runners. That's the runners. And I thank God, those horses that run, if by any means, to win. And that's why we do need to be battle horses. Praise God. I loved that story about that horse that was in the battle. And I think it was called Battle Horse or something like that. It was good. And you know how the Lord has kind of caught my affection, and I'm sure yours is the same way. He uses these wonderful animals as examples of the intensity and the fighting spirit and the desire to win. And like I said, I even had the other day, every time the Kentucky Derby and all that comes around, and did it again. I have to go back and watch Secretariat run. And every time I do, I'm getting chills thinking about that horse again. And it wasn't just to win. I'm going to finish with a full draw. I'm going to smoke it all, you know, just smoking everybody as I went along there. Never even looked around to see where anybody was. I was running, and he was having a good time running to win that and coming around that last corner. And how incredible God uses these precious encouragements to our life. But notice here, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it speaks of the horses and the chariots, but even though there are many of them, it's one company. It's one company, see, of the horses and the chariots, but yet it says there, a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. The Lord looks at her as that one, and I thank God in that, and it's so precious, brothers and sisters. That's our oneness in Christ. Sure, there are many parts of the body that make up the preeminent company, but that company is one. And this company, if you look at that word, which is very precious in the Hebrew, it refers, believe it or not, to a mare. It's a female horse. And if you know about a mare, it's a female mature horse that is ready for breeding, or that is already fruitful. And there's no coincidence in the word choices that God uses here. And even the word Pharaoh, it has a deeper meaning than even what we're thinking of here, just perceiving it on the surface. The word Pharaoh means a great house. So really what this is speaking of is this is a preferred, mature female horse that is fruitful, that's in the great house now. And I say, wow, that's how the Lord sees us. And, you know, it's in the barn, but the barn's a mansion. And I just think of how sweet the Lord is. He's in such detail in all of this, and that's why I say it's just endless. So let him continue to minister to us tonight. And then in verse 10, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. thy neck with chains of gold. So he goes on and speaks of her adornment for him. Once again, as we saw, whether it was Rebecca, whether it was Esther, the chamberlain, or the Holy Ghost, those were the only ones that could prepare Esther for the king, or us for the king, us for the marriage. And always remember, the Holy Ghost has everything of his, everything. And it's all by the Holy Ghost. It's all by the power of his might that makes us ready and gets us ready for him. He takes the things of Christ and he shows them unto us. He makes them ours. He makes them known to us. Going back to the little Lord of all of Galatians 4:1. You're already endowed with all of it. But what the Holy Ghost does is he allows you to see it. He allows you to appreciate it. He allows you to grow up into what God has made you for and called you for. The very purpose of every one of our lives here tonight. Matter of fact, the very purpose of every man is not just to be saved, but to come to a full knowledge of the truth. He's not a respecter of persons. I don't care how wicked you may think somebody is. That person, by God's grace, had every single chance you did too. Praise God. Know this. And this is why we do pray for one another and thank the Lord for his great love to us. But brothers and sisters, he takes the things of Christ and he makes them ours. And see, it's not the things that that Christ has made for us, or they're like Christ things. They are the things of Christ. They're his. It's his life in us. So we get his joy. We get his peace. We have his long suffering. We have his patience. We have all of the fruit of the Spirit that he so provides. And also here, the sufferings of Christ. See, this makes her ravishing to the king. She's willing to suffer together with him. So, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But see, this, the cheeks here, they speak of fairness. They speak of beauty. They speak of also humility. The neck speaks of strength. But each of these are bearing ornaments for the bride. These, again, are the things that Eliezer gave to Rebekah at the well. This is the adornment for the husband. But I want you to see what these things are. If you go over to Proverbs 1, and verses 8 and 9, this will tell us what all of the ornaments are, all of the adorning is. And in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, it says there, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. All of this adorning is grace. It's all grace. All of the things that are bestowed to her, it's all the grace of God. That is the beauty of her. She is totally and wholly and solely a work of grace. And what comes from grace? Glory. And praise God. That's why she descends from heaven having the glory of God, because she's taken all grace. Nothing of herself. Only found in his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Again, how the lines just to continue to lay one upon the other, and how beautiful, again, we are to him, and that is all by his grace. Now let's go to verse 11 of Song of Solomon. It says there, we will make the borders of gold with studs of silver. Now he's going to tell her what he will do for her. Borders of gold with studs of silver. And notice here, it's we. Did you catch that? We will make the borders of gold with studs of silver. Well, I'll tell you what catches my heart. There's the Trinity. I thank the Lord for that working of the Trinity, don't you? And thanking God, how wonderful the three in one perform the good work which he has begun. God has the plan. The Son is waiting. And praise God, it's the very life. And the power of his might, the Holy Ghost, is getting it done. And I thank the Lord for that, that he has given this. But see, the border here speaks of an ornament for the head. So you go back there, it says, we will make the borders or ornaments on your head of gold with studs of silver. She is adorned with deity, that's the gold, and silver speaks of redemption. But see, this isn't for someday. Again, this is for now. This is how when we see his vision for us, I thank God as we come in here and we hear Paul's gospel, as we come in together and we begin to truly allow this word to work effectually in us because we believe it, as we start to take more of the love of God, this becomes not just something we know, this becomes even something beyond even what we believe, it becomes mine. It's who I am, it's what I am to the Lord. And you know what happens when that starts to really happen in my life? I find myself always looking up, because what am I looking for? Redemption. That mind, that silver crowning, those little studs of silver, speaking of redemption, I'm looking for my redemption. I'm just caught away. I'm looking for his appearing. I'm loving his appearing. That's continuing to captivate my mind. And then you think of the gold. Obviously, that's a sweet one there, as we see. So precious. That speaks of the deity, brothers and sisters. That golden crown that we have, that he's given, where he says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And we thank God that, again, we occupy by faith and love as reigning together with him. The wife hath made herself ready, counting him faithful for it now. Amen? See, a readied wife, she's not disturbed in a sense, is he going to marry me or not? You know, I know that we've all gone through that, and you might be going through that a little bit tonight. Now, I'm not saying that is as we've apprehended. No, I want to apprehend him. But I don't apprehend him in fear and doubt. That's not going to apprehend my lover. My confidence, as the word of God is telling me here, is in the love of my lover to me. That's the confidence. Not in me just saying, well, I know the Lord loves me. He's going to marry me. No, that's not the attitude of a wife. It's no, I treasure him. I know it's all of him. I know it's all from him. I know it's all because of him. And I do know that his love is true. And I know his word is true. And I know he has spoken these words through his spirit to me. And I know by the grace of God, I said, Lord, I will go. And I know he's come for his words. I know he has sent the spirit at the well. And by the grace of God, I'm seated there. And by the grace of God, there's a quickening that's going on in my life. And even if I get distracted for a moment, he's faithful. Even in my unbelief, praise God, he abides faithful. He'll continue to minister that to me. I'm putting my confidence in Lord that I am going to finish with a full joy. I'm putting my confidence in my bridegroom, the one who loves me so, that I'm going to win him. Praise God. That's not of me, and I have not yet, but I do believe that he will perform that good work which he's begun in me. And I want to believe him for that. I want to rest in him. And in that, he'll take rest in me, just like that virtuous woman. And brothers and sisters, again, it's not any confidence in myself. My confidence is totally in his love. My confidence is solely in the grace of God that'll work that in my life. And I can't tell you how that has transformed my life to be more confident in him. And understanding, praise God, how nothing I am without my Lord. How I can't do a thing, but he performs everything. That I can truly wait upon the Lord and watch him in his magnificent way to open the doors and close the doors and lead me along and, praise God, sing songs to me in the night. And whenever I get a little bit disturbed or even a little bit fearful, it's always his perfect love, his complete love, the fullness of his love that calms me right down. And praise God that we have the testimony of his undying love to us. Now let's go to verse 12. It says, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sends forth the smell thereof. Now see, she's speaking back to him. And this is beautiful because, see, he is there to feed. He's there to feed. But what is he feeding upon? Your spikenard. Look at that. That's what's feeding him. It's that sweet-smelling sacrifice of praise. The thanksgiving that we are to him. This spikenard, again, is the ointment. If you go into the New Testament, remember Mary as she anointed his feet and with those expensive ointments and all that spikenard and those self-righteous ones went over there. Oh, my goodness. You wasted all that money on him. You should have given that to the poor. Isn't that the religious self-righteous man today? It's how many good deeds we can do. It's how good I can feel about myself. Where in Christianity is really the thought and the encouragement? to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where do you hear that anymore? Praise God you hear that here, because that's what's spoken of in the Word of God, is to know Him. To know Him. Not in a seminary setting that way. I'm talking about to know the love of Christ. Praise God. And to have that ministered, yes, by the vessels, ministering to the saints, but it's by His Spirit, praise God, that brings this to us. And thanking the Lord for this. But this was Mary as she was anointing His feet with her tears. Praise God, as He talked about that other sister as well too. It's the better part. And He said, you guys, leave her alone. See, He protects and defends her as she now begins to take her place alone and to be shut up to Him. And that's the truth. See, as we saw a little bit earlier in this chapter, she was caught away because she had to go take care of her family stuff and her friend's stuff. And see, again, precious hearts, and we got to know this. They're going to be Christians, people that we know and have known for a long time. They're going to still not sit down to be occupied at His feet. They're going to want to be busy. We should be doing this. We need to do this. I still hear that from time to time. You know what? I want the Lord to tell me what we need to be doing. And you know what He does? He says, preach the word. He said, be about the things of me. Hear me. Sit at my feet. Get the word of God. I want this place, by God's grace, to continue on, and the much the more to preach the gospel of Christ, to preach Paul's gospel. To truly have that encouragement that, yeah, wherever it would reach, just to put it out there, praise God. But I know that we plant and we water, but it's He that gives the increase. But this is what we need. This is what He wants. We're at the time that that merchant is searching for the pearl of great price. Thank you, God, that we know these things. I don't want to be wasting my time on feeling. I want to be sowing faith. I want to reap the midst of the throne with Him. Amen? That's what He has given us. And thanking God that we can go right to the Word to know that. Not to say, well, I know that's right. No, I know that's right. I know that's what His love letters have told me. I know that, praise God, this is what He has been calling to me for all these years. Verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Boy, how far she's come again in such a short amount of time. And I love it. Her well-beloved here is what this is saying. Not just beloved, her much-loved is a bundle of myrrh to her. Isn't that interesting? How romantic would that have been when your courtship, huh? You're just a bundle of suffering to me. Don't put that in your cards to your wife's brothers. You're going to get in trouble because only He can be this to us. You see what I'm saying? And this is what's so beautiful. She loves His sufferings. Don't you love the sufferings of Christ? Don't you understand all of those sufferings? And we dote on it and rejoice in it always, always. This do in remembrance of me, praise God, but always. The joy that was set before Him. The joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. How wonderful. His suffering for me. Oh, I embrace that. Oh, I love that. Her glory, praise God, our glory is in His suffering and death. Praise God. Him becoming sin for us that knew no sin. That lamb slain lies between her breasts. See, it's the Lamb's wife, amen? It's the Lamb's wife, praise God. I love how that over and over, it's the Lamb's wife. And thanking Jesus for this, this is how she sees Him. She draws those sufferings into her as her most loved thing because it's His greatest treasure for her to suffer together with Him. Let's turn on over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. And thanking the Lord, I know by God's grace, this isn't just becoming memory. You know where this is going. You know these things. And praise God, this is to be encouraged and putting these things in remembrance, the much the more, and giving the more earnest heed to these things, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's not that they slip, it's that they build the word of grace. It just keeps building upon it in us, and I thank God for that. But it says in Philippians 1:29, Paul says, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him." See, we're not only to believe on Jesus and to trust him for things in our life and to give him our lives in a sense that way, but listen to this, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, where are we back in? We're back in Philippians, those horse runners, right? This isn't the ones that flee, praise God. These are the fully purposed ones. These are the ones that are incensed to win him. This is that message that's going out to them. You talk to people like this, they say, "You're nuts. I'm not going to sit here and suffer. I love Jesus, but I want it to be coffee time. And I want to come in here and we're going to talk about good stuff and how we're going to build this and feed that and do this." No, you know what? We're going to know him. And when you know him, you're going to suffer. And you're going to suffer with him. And it's going to be beautiful how he does this. But see, but also to suffer for his sake. And now let's go on, because Paul says, now, if you really don't get what I'm saying here, having the same conflict, the same battle, the same struggle, which he saw in me and now here to be in me. He was a prisoner for Jesus Christ. You'll be a prisoner. Praise God. The love of God. I appreciated how a sister brought that out. Those bars and things like that. That's the word of God. We're just kind of shut up to him. We're prisoners of him. It's that line upon line as it just continues to be built in our lives. And that's how God does this. But you see, brothers and sisters, we often think that the Lord glories when we praise him for deliverances. That the Lord glories when we praise him that we've gotten favor in certain things. See, like they praised him for a moment when he parted the Red Sea. They praised him for a moment when he took the water out of the rock, you know, had it flowing. They praised him for that. But let me tell you something. Those aren't the things that he glories in. He glories, the greatest treasure to him is when we praise him and embrace the sufferings that he gives to us. Amen. And that's not easy. It's not joyful for the moment in our flesh. But when we, by spirit, look to the word of God and are encouraged in the word of God and can truly be taken in spirit and know that we're seated in the heavens in Christ and can see the vision of our Lord and our Father, that Trinity rejoicing that we've laid hold of faith. That by grace, through faith, we believe him for this. That these are the most precious things to us when we suffer together with him. We're talking about the song in the night. We're talking about the praise in the furnace. As Paul was finally completely in tune, you know what he finally said? "I glory in my infirmities." That's when Paul finally got it. Paul was so caught up early on, "Well, the good I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." And then he finally got it. "Oh, my goodness, Lord. I glory in my infirmities." It's in that infirmity. It's in that weakness. It's in my, "I can't." That's the beauty to you, because that's when you're resting upon me, the very power of you, resting between my breasts. Amen? That's it. And you know it. And you talk about a sweet spot. Praise God when we go to that sweet spot. And only he can bring us there. Amen? Because we wouldn't go there. He has to bring those before ordained good works. And again, that's ordained. He's put it in place. Amen? Ordained. Put it in place. Keep that. If the Lord brings us back for Sunday, put it in place. And that's what he's done. And it's so beautiful how he's done that. He's put it in place. But Paul was finally completely in tune there. The myrrh. Lying right there between the breasts. Okay, let's go back and let's get into verse 14. "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." And this is such a beautiful thing here. You notice again, all of the beloveds. This is beloved, well-beloved, true lovers, love story here, there. You know, you hear people talk like that and you go, "Oh my goodness, what a nut." You know, I'm talking about in the natural. "Oh, I love." You know how you tease your friend is, they'd say, "Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, me too." "Oh, go ahead and tell you love her, sissy." You know. But That's kind of, this is their language. This is what they know. They're in love. Much love, true love, all of this thing. It's intense. And how she loves to hold him. And again, this is much love. And this verse 14, what this means, as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi, it's wonderful here because this is a covering of flowers and grapes from the highest rock region. And this is the place of the hinds' feet. This is the place, praise God, that very few will ever go. This is that language. This is that love language that God has with his bride. The place that we really take where, you know what, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And this is, again, the beginning of being adorned in the glory that she will descend from heaven in, having the glory of God. This is that place. And praise God that, you know, he's given us the hinds' feet to go there. Go there. Take it. Allow this to cover our lives. Don't be ashamed of the glory of God. And oftentimes the glory of God, well, not often. It always is. It's going to be a place where it's going to be despised of man. They don't get it. They'll just think it's stupid. They'll think you're wasting your time. They'll just think, oh, well, you're just so weak or you're so evil. You're just, you know, you're so pitiful. You need Jesus. Amen. You got it. You got it. Praise God. All right. If you get there too, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So it's all right. Verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Now he calls back out to her. And this is, begins, he says this to her seven times. Isn't that wonderful? Thou art fair. Seven times that perfection, that perfect love. He tells her this. And oh, how we need an ear to hear this. We must cast not our eyes on ourselves, not our eyes on ourselves, but see ourselves with dove's eyes. Praise the Lord. That's different. See, we can be looking at ourselves and thinking that we're something, and then, you know, we know we're nothing in that. But praise God, when we see ourselves with dove's eyes, and dove's eyes always speak of the Holy Ghost, and that's love that is shed abroad in our hearts, his love to us. And praising God again, that those eyes only see in grace. They abound in the grace of God. I see how lovely I am to Jesus by grace. Amen? Not by my works, not by my deeds, not by any of that, because I know that that is the filthy rags to him. But I see the beauty that I am to him because I take his grace. And he draws nigh, and he gives grace to the humble. And I thank God as we become even more humble and understanding, you must increase, Lord. You're the beauty of it all. That's what's so exciting and wonderful. And I can say that so thankfully in the vessels in this meeting. And it's not because this meeting, it's because of this message. You're neutral, you cannot be. You're either going to go one way or the other. And praise be to God, we're drawing nigh to him. And when you draw nigh to him and you go after that, praise God, it's going to become more glorious. Everything is going to become more glorious. Whether it's the teaching, the songs, the classes, sermons, all of those things by the grace of God. I know that's all he is. That's all he is. That's all he can be. So when we put our confidence in him, that will always be the result. It'll just be the much the more. It'll always be a double portion. It'll always be exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Amen? So that's how God will do it. We thank the Lord for that. I praise him and thank. You know, and I do. I'm just going to tell you this. In visiting with these couple different men this week, you know, they're talking about their churches and, you know, kind of sad, well, we only have 300 or 400 or whatever, and, you know, we can't make finances meet, and we can't do this and that. And I'm just sitting there listening. He says, why aren't you saying anything? And I said, well, the Lord provides. And I said, oh, when the love of God is in the people, they'll give. They'll just give. And I said, I do. I stand back in amazement. I thank the Lord. And again, it's him that does it and how he provides. And these two men, especially the one, he was just awestruck. But he got it. It was because of the love of God. It wasn't because you pressure people or you push people. He said, we do so many fun drives, cookie deals, this, blah, boop, boop, and we still can't make it work. We just shut it down. Amen. Amen. And that's how it is. You can try to smoke and mirror stuff for as long as you want to do, but it's the Word of God. It's the love of God. Love, praise the Lord, is all of the motivation we'll ever need. And praise God that we know that that's Him and Him that does the work. So we thank the Lord for this. But you see, she has Holy Ghost eyes. He says to her, see with those eyes that have the love that's shed abroad, eyes that only see love for you, the vision, my vision of you and for you. And that love vision of Jesus Christ for us transforms our faith into His very image, into His very vision. And you know that, brothers and sisters, that's what gives you faith. That's what gives you confidence. That's why, praise God, I do believe that in Jesus' name, what you're hearing tonight will cause you to have more faith. Period. Period. Because it's the love of God to you. You can reject it if you want, but I wouldn't do that. I'd say, you know what? He said it. I believe it. Praise God. Feed me with that. Building and building. Praise the Lord, as He said, in the word of my grace. Amen. The word of my grace. Think about that again. It's just everything that I've given. It's everything that I've done. It's everything that I've provided. Grace. That's what's going to build you up. Not word becoming your knowledge, not word becoming, well, I think I'm something because I know this. It's the word of my grace, praise God, amen? This is what we grow in, grace and in the knowledge of Him. So it's not the word of your strength or deeds, but the word of His grace that builds us up. Listen to the Spirit tell us, I love you. And hearing His words, she now has a response. And think about where, as we're going to read here in the 16th verse, where she is. She's right back in the bedroom chamber. In one chapter, boy, we've gone miles. And thank God how He is so sweet and faithful. She says here, behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. I'm so thankful. She's starting to get bold. She says here, thou art fair and pleasant. This is important. He's saying to her, or she's saying to him, excuse me, you're handsome and physically beautiful. Praise God. And this is getting to an attraction that is speaking of maturity, bridal courtship. This is the attraction of mature lovers. And she sees him in that way. And he has longed for her to see him in that way. How beautiful is the Lamb? Amen? Yeah, it's the Lamb. It's not the painting of Jesus you're thinking of. It's the painting of the only Jesus there really is, the Lamb, the beautiful Lamb. And this is that has finally just captivated her heart in a sense in that beautiful maturity. When we take His vision for us, again, our vision for Him is transformed. And finally, in verse 17, as we go on with this, it says, the beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. So again, we notice it's no longer, by the way, His bedroom. Because if you go back there and you read, it was his chambers in verse 4. He hath brought me into His chambers. In verse 16, she says, our bed is green. She's beginning to take steps, isn't she? It's not just yours. It's ours. I'm getting it, Lord. Amen? Praise God, isn't it sweet? The little things in here, and we thank God for this, but this is ours. And the bed is green speaks of resurrection. Think of the resurrected life in us, brothers and sisters. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Isn't that what it is? Christ liveth in me. It's no longer I that live, but yet Christ liveth in me. See, that's the fellowship. Your focus of life becomes that He lives in you. And you become confident in that life. Amen? Not confident in you. You know we're confident in you got you. And I'm talking about as a Christian. It gets you in a very sorry place, a very empty place. But when you're confident in Him, it's a place of abiding and confiding. It's a place again, of the full overcomer in Christ. And we thank the Lord for that. But you see, brothers and sisters, it's theirs. It's ours. It's the beams, as it goes into 17. She says it again, of our house. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Our house and our rafters. We are one, bone of bone and flesh of his flesh, joined, what did he say, fellow heirs, as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Praise God. See, with the Lord, there's no prenups. There just isn't. There just isn't. He's a lover, and he loves you, and what's mine is yours, and it's all yours, and we're all sharing it, and it's so wonderful. And see, these beams of cedar and fir, these rafters, you'll read this and as we close this out in Isaiah 14:8. It tells us that these were these huge and strong trees in the heights. And they were found in Lebanon. And Lebanon is a high and a lofty place. And Lebanon, the word Lebanon means white, which speaks again of righteousness. And how wonderful that all of the house, everything about that house, as we're starting to talk about it, everything about where we live, everything about everything is him. Amen? Because he's it. He's the only righteous thing. He's been made righteousness for us. Philippians 3:9, what does it say there? As Paul says, you know what? I count all things but dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be found not having mine own righteousness, but to be found only in his righteousness. Amen? See, that's the beautiful part about that. And then in 2 Timothy 4:8, what does Paul say? It's the exalted, it's that crown, right? That exalted crown of righteousness. And that means that exalted rank of righteousness. It's a rank, praise God. It's that one star that differeth from another in glory. But what that star is emitting is his righteousness. Amen? That's the sun glory. It's just who he is. It, again, is his righteousness. Think about in Revelation 9:8. What is the bride adorned with? She is clothed with the righteousness of saints. Amen? It's all him. Praise God. It's all him. She's transparent. Remember as we talked about the alabaster box and those were the windows. You could see right through them. It was all the ointment. It was all him. It's all his righteousness. And he's been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all there. Praise be to God. So, brothers and sisters, we know it is his beauty. We know it is his glory. We know it is his light, but it all has become her. And she is that to him. She is that to him. And oh, what a pair for eternity. A pair that will light upon light the ages forever. Praise the Lord. So there's chapter one. I pray the Lord encourage you with it. And again, we have just glanced at it. Someday with him, with a body like unto his own, he'll just about take forever. And it still won't be exhausted. And that's the truth. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.